Imagine waking up tomorrow with your brain physically rewired, your corpus callosum thickened, your facial recognition shifted to a different hemisphere. This isn't science fiction. It's what happens when you learn to read. Yet for most of human history, literacy was rare, with rates below 10% until the 16th century when Protestant regions began developing the world's most literate societies. This transformation wasn't driven by industrialization, but by religious conviction, the Protestant principle that everyone should read the Bible themselves. This neurological rewiring across populations represents just the tip of a massive psychological iceberg that has shaped human history in profound ways we're only beginning to understand. If you're reading this, you're likely psychologically peculiar from a global and historical perspective. Psychologists use the acronym WEIRD, Western, Educated, Industrialized, Rich, and Democratic, to describe a psychological package that makes many of us statistical outliers in the human family. But how did this peculiar psychology emerge, and why does it matter for understanding our world today? WEIRD people are highly individualistic, self-focused, and analytical. When completing I am 10 times, they list personal attributes rather than relationships, unlike rural villagers in traditional societies who define themselves through relationships 80% of the time. This individualism affects behavior. WEIRD people maintain consistent personalities across social contexts, while East Asians adjust behavior based on relationships. For Americans, being yourself strongly correlates with life satisfaction. For Koreans, it doesn't. WEIRD people experience more guilt, internal disappointment, than shame, social devaluation, and resist conformity better. In Solomon Ash's line judgment experiment, the conformity effect is 3 times stronger in Zimbabwe than in Western countries. They show unusual trust and fairness toward strangers, making them challenging friends, unwilling to bend rules for loved ones, but effective citizens in large societies requiring cooperation among strangers. The roots of WEIRD psychology lie in the Western Church's marriage and family policies that dismantled Europe's intensive kin-based institutions between 400-1200 CE. The Church demolished traditional kinship systems, after which voluntary associations emerged from these ruins. Beginning around 597 CE, Pope Gregory I sent missionaries to Anglo-Saxon England with strict marriage instructions prohibiting marriages between cousins, stepfamilies, and relatives of deceased spouses. By the 11th century, these taboos extended to sixth cousins, with penalties ranging from suspension from communion to excommunication and anathema, a ritual formally consigning the soul to Satan. The Church systematically blocked traditional strategies for maintaining lineages by banning adoption, prohibiting polygynous marriage, and forbidding divorce. Without these options, European dynasties frequently died out, weakening kin networks and generating wealth for the Church through annulment sales. This transformation created a unique family system based on nuclear families, individual marriage choice, and weak extended kinship ties, unlike any other in human history. Monogamous marriage is one of the most distinctive yet underappreciated aspects of WEIRD psychology. When Spanish conquistadors met the Aztec Empire in 1521, both had complex agricultural states with hereditary rulers and powerful religions, yet their marriage systems differed dramatically. Aztec elites practiced polygyny, while Europeans had adopted strict monogamy. WEIRD monogamy is the evolutionary and historical outlier. No group living primates naturally practice monogamous pair bonding, and our evolved psychology actually biases us toward polygynous arrangements. Polygynous marriage creates a mathematical problem, a surplus of unmarried, low-status men. When high-status men take multiple wives, many low-status men remain mateless. In communities with equal numbers of men and women, everyone in a monogamous society can find a spouse. However, in polygynous societies, if the top 20% of men marry multiple women, the bottom 40% become involuntary bachelors, evolutionary zeros. This creates different incentives, with low-status men in polygynous societies more likely to engage in risky, violent, or criminal behavior. The church's insistence on monogamy fundamentally altered male competition patterns across Europe, creating societies with broader participation in economic and social life. Religious beliefs powerfully influence human behavior, especially cooperation and fairness. Experiments show participants subtly reminded of God-related concepts gave strangers nearly twice as much money compared to control groups. Early hunter-gatherer gods were typically weak, whimsical, and amoral. They could be bribed or tricked and punish people based on arbitrary preferences rather than moral violations. The Zhuangzi's creator god might punish someone for burning bees while showing little concern for interpersonal treatment. Through intergroup competition, communities with gods who punished antisocial behaviors gained advantages, creating cultural packages that expanded trust and reduced internal conflict. Cross-cultural studies show belief in supernatural monitoring affects fairness toward strangers. People believing in punishing big gods showed less bias against distant co-religionists, while those viewing their god as an all-loving softy allocated fewer resources to strangers. The Western Church's promotion of a morally concerned, all-knowing god, combined with its assault on kinship, created psychological conditions for greater trust among non-relatives, laying groundwork for modern impersonal institutions. The spread of mechanical clocks across 13th century Europe marked the emergence of weird time psychology. Unlike non-Western societies with fluid time concepts, Westerners obsess over saving and making time. Research shows urbanites in individualistic countries walk 30% faster and complete transactions more quickly than those in collectivist societies. During the Industrious Revolution, circa 1650, Europeans began working longer hours. London court records from 1748 to 1803 reveal the work week lengthened by 40% as people abandoned traditional days off, adding roughly 1,000 extra working hours annually. Market integration promotes patience and self-control. Among Bayaka hunter-gatherers in the Congo Basin, those in market towns showed significantly more patience than forest dwellers, with 54% versus 18% willing to delay gratification for greater rewards. Unlike China and India, where craft skills remained within families, European masters primarily trained non-relatives, 72 to 93% of apprentices in 17th century London. This broader expertise diffusion accelerated innovation as journeymen traveled between masters and cities, creating urban innovation hubs. The Industrial Revolution that began in England's Midlands in the late 18th century transformed economies worldwide. British incomes rose from $3,430 in 1800, comparable to modern Kenya, to $32,543 by 2000. While life expectancy doubled from 39 to 78 years. Innovation stems from collective cultural evolution, not individual genius. Europe's life cycle servant system allowed young people to learn better practices from successful households before establishing their own in their mid-20s, implementing new techniques earlier than in societies where younger generations remained subordinate to elders. Cities expanded Europe's collective brain by concentrating people, ideas, and technologies. Between 800 CE and 1800, Europe's urban population grew 20-fold to nearly 16 million, while the Islamic world didn't even double and China's remained flat. Each 10-fold population increase yields a 13-fold increase in patent applications. These patterns, weakened kinship, monogamous marriage, moralistic gods, market mentalities, and innovation networks, created the conditions for unprecedented economic growth and modern weird societies. What we consider natural, individualism, analytical thinking, and impersonal prosociality, is actually a culturally evolved package from a unique historical pathway that continues to shape our economic development, democratic institutions, and international relations today.